And my guest is 4th District Alder David Mack, who made it through the potential snowstorm.
Yeah, thanks. I could have slept in today.
You know, the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is look out at my driveway. He's taking a picture. Hi, everybody. And just look at the roof of my car, my wife's car, to make sure it didn't snow overnight. And this is all the time, just because I don't want to go out there and get surprised first thing in the morning. When
she go out and clean your windows off and everything for you?
No, I do that for her.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I leave first in the morning. I leave about 5:15 in the morning, so I gotta, I brush him off. And my son, if he leaves about the same time I do, he will shovel the walkway if there's significant snow. He gets out like 4:30 in the morning. I got the whole operation under control.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, my biggest problem is, like when we had the big Groundhog Day snowstorm, I was out there at 3 o'clock in the morning getting the driveway clear because it was a mess. And every time I did it, the plow came by and put it all back.
I was in the emergency operations center. And, I'm hearing these voices.
Yeah, there's somebody else over there. Pay no attention.
So anyway, I was in the emergency operations center until like 9:10 in the morning and drove home and the roads were terrible. And some lady yells at me, "Hey, are you the alderman?" as I'm driving down Gould Street. "Oh, my neighbors are upset with you." And it's like, all right. Then she says, "Do you think you could give me a ride to work? My boss was supposed to pick me up and he never showed up." And she worked at the hospital. And I'm like, all right, get in, lady.
You really did?
I did.
Whoa. I didn't know older people giving rides to people when they.
I didn't do it because I was an alderman. It's just, you know, whatever.
The goodness of your heart thing?
Yeah.
And then I didn't know you had that.
There was nowhere for me to park. Couldn't park on Gould Street. The alley hadn't been plowed. The Erie Street hadn't been plowed. So I go down to the lake, and there's a little opening over at Lakeview Park in the parking lot that used to be there. And the wind drifts had created just enough space for me to put my car in, and I parked. And then I got scared. I thought, what if they tow my car?
Well, you can park wherever you want to. You're an alder.
Yeah, right. Okay. So anyway, I had to walk home, and I'm walking through 4-foot drifts down the alley, and there my wife is shoveling out a snow drift in the backyard.
Is this the Groundhog Day?
Yeah, that reached up to the garage.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I got pictures of it. I just had one of those memory things pop up on my phone. Like, I needed to be reminded of that. But that's the day I had to walk from Walgreens. I parked at Walgreens on Highway 20.
Yeah.
And I had to walk here nine-tenths of a mile. I clocked it. 9/10 of a mile to the station. And I can ask you something, and you probably don't have an answer to this. I don't want to ambush you with this. What takes so long for the roads to get plowed? Now, Victory Avenue, and I've been here 25 years, it seems to never get plowed. Now, the last snow we had wasn't a big snow, but it was messy. It took over a week to get Victory Avenue plowed.
Commissioner Rooney sent out an email to all of us explaining the operations, and this goes back years. I mean, it's not just...
This goes back to the horse and buggy days.
Yeah, it's just not the current administration. I forget how many miles of road we have. So, unbeknownst to me, I thought everything gets plowed. All the arterial streets get plowed down to the pavement. Other streets don't get as pristine of a, you know, plowing, but they do get something, I thought. But some streets do not get plowed during a snowstorm.
Well, this is a week after the snowstorm. Yeah, right. It wasn't even a snowstorm. It was just, you know, snow fell, a couple of inches. And it took about a week to get this street plowed.
I'm not sure why. I would think that Victory Avenue with WRJN would be a major thoroughfare.
Maybe that's why it's not getting plowed, for all I know. Well, I just, you know, I know it's a tough job. Yeah. And I know, especially in a big snowstorm, it's you know, you got to keep the main street's clear. You got to keep the Highway 20s clear. I understand that. I really do. But eventually, you know, and I know people, they're on, I see them on this, on the Facebook page and on the Ring systems, all complaining, you know, I live in a street that hasn't been plowed yet. It's been a week. I understand it. You can't get to every street. There's a lot of streets in Racine. I understand that. But eventually, I mean.
You know, when you look at it, and I'm not going to make excuses.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to defend the indefensible. Is that a word?
Yeah.
But there are some challenges out there. And I get frustrated because, you know, I'm driving down the street after a snowstorm, and it's difficult sometimes for these plows to get through because people are not following the alternate side parking.
Forget that. How about during a snow emergency? They shouldn't be on the street at all.
Right. And so you're driving and your street is becoming narrower and narrower because of all the snow around these cars.
Yes, yes.
So there was a street, and I park on it frequently. It's not in front of my house. It's more of a commercial area. And there had been a car there for well over a week, had no license plates whatsoever, and the snow was all piled around. And finally, I called it in. I said, listen, this car is not doing the alternate side parking like it's supposed to, and it just creates a mess and an inconvenience. That is the number one reason, I think, out there why our streets are not better plowed than they should be. And that is not the fault of the city.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. There was a car parked in front of my house. Shouldn't have been there. I don't know whose car it was. It wasn't mine. Anyway, it was parked there, and the last snow we had, they had to plow around the car. Right. And they did it twice because he didn't move his car for a couple of days. So when he finally did move his car, we had all that snow, and it turned really cold. It was only 10 below zero, and it became ice. So now you couldn't park any car there because you couldn't get in. And it made a mess for like a week and a half because this person was inconsiderate, didn't care. I don't know who it was, probably one of my neighbors, but I didn't recognize. I have two neighbors on either side of me. It wasn't their cars. They have driveways. So I don't know whose car it was, but they made a big mess in the street, and it lasted over a week because they didn't care.
Right.
It was not important to them. It wasn't in front of their house, so they didn't care.
So the other issue on the flip side, which is responsibility to the city, but it also explains things, is Public Works has had a major turnover of both supervisors and line operators because of retirements and everything else. So they're dealing with a fairly new staff who doesn't have the experience, the institutional knowledge that previous staff had.
Is this one of the things that Elon Musk gutted, the Racine?
No. But this will be, you know, it's going to take a couple years for them to hit their stride.
What happened, though? Just retirements?
If you look at...
They aged out?
Yeah, you look at the demographics, and I remember Gene Jacobson talking about how the baby boomers were all, you know, reaching that retirement age, and boom, and it took a little longer, but, you know... You sometimes have institutions, businesses, and things like that you have a large pool of employees that are around the same age, and boom, they flip, retire, and all of a sudden you're dealing with a brand new workforce. And
I didn't know that.
It's a newer, I don't want to say younger because I don't know what the age demographic is. I'll say younger in the sense of, from experience, younger staff both on the supervisory level and on the line level, and that's going to make a difference. If you get a group of people that don't have that experience coming into it, it's going to take them a few years to hit their stride and to really know their job.
I'd last 9 seconds in this job as a snow plower because I would get down the street. If a car is parked there, I'd just push them out of the way with my plow. 9 seconds, and they'd pull me off the streets.
You're all talk, Don, and yet you're the guy that drives, you know, the speed limit and everything else. I'm going to do this. But yet, okay.
I'd plow them right out of the way. David Mack, 4th District Alder, is my guest at 717 at WRJN Local News. Timeless Hits. 4th District Alder Dave Mack is here, and do the Alders get their streets plowed first? I just want to know something.
No.
Yeah, you sure?
I am definitely sure.
I thought you guys had some kind of pull.
And my driveway's on an alley, so it's even longer usually.
Oh, you got alley parking, huh?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. I have a, you know what? even in the worst snowstorm, we had that big Groundhog Day snowstorm, by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun was out, people were traveling. You know, we used to have a meteorologist here.
Took 2 days for the alley to get plowed.
Well, and it's alleys.
And Erie Street, I don't think it got plowed until later that night.
But so. The main roads were plowed. And I live on a main road, so I don't care about your alley. Okay. That's just the human nature. We had Elliot Abrams here. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, you're the guy that's, okay.
Elliot Abrams is here. He was our meteorologist. And he said, in all the decades he's been predicting storms and everything, why is it when there's a snowstorm, people run out to the stores, load up on milk, bread, butter, all the staples, when in just a few hours the sun will be out and you can go to the stores? Snowstorms right. don't last days. They last a couple of hours. That's it. And then they move out.
We went out to eat that night. We actually found a restaurant that was open. The only restaurant in Racine that was open that night was Chubby's on State Street.
Yes. Hey, there's a picture of me in Chubby's.
Or High Street.
You ever see my picture there? Yeah. I had a Bill Lawrence and I had a Chubby's eating contest. Was back in the 90s. We had a Chubby's eating contest.
Did you win?
Yes, because he...
Man versus food with Don Rosen.
You know what it is? He loaded up with all the condiments on it and stuff. I didn't. I said, make it plain. So it was easier for me to eat the hamburger, but he had all these things dripping off the side, tomato, lettuce, and I didn't do that. I just had it plain.
How long did you have to...
it was just who can finish it first.
Okay.
So our picture is there at Chubby's, if you want
did
to
see. Did you get a T-shirt?
No. And again, it was here, done here. It wasn't at Chubby's.
We were in Arkansas, and I like to... Find restaurants that were on TV, like on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, or Man versus Food, or any of those. So we found in Arkansas a barbecue place outside of Little Rock that was on Man versus Food. And we're sitting there and we're eating, and they were known for their super hot sauce. So my father-in-law, who liked hot sauce, he can't eat it anymore, but he did. I think it burned a hole through his stomach.
Ugh.
Anyway, he bought some of their hot sauce.
By the way, thank you for that image.
Had to sign a waiver that he wasn't going to hold them responsible.
I've seen that.
So there was a guy there that was doing the challenge. And I don't know if it was like a pulled pork sandwich, but smothered in a gallon of this hot sauce. And he's sitting there and he's attempting it. He gets up and he goes over to the soda machine and he fills up his glass and he starts gulping. The owner comes over with a rag, and he's wiping the sweat off the guy's forehead. And he ended up downing the sandwich within the time.
Well,
then he got up, and he started heading to the bathroom. And they said, no, you go outside, and they had a big hose ready for him.
Oh, come on. This is breakfast time. What are you?
And I headed to the car because I didn't want to see the aftermath of anything.
This is breakfast we're talking about.
We saw someone actually taking a Man versus Food challenge. Well, it wasn't the TV show, but they took the restaurant challenge. And
that guy had to stop after a while. The guy, the host of that show, because he said it was too much.
Yeah.
And this guy was, it's just unhealthy. Here at the library, we had.
Now he's on the History Channel doing.
I forget his name.
Yeah. I forget too, but he's doing color commentary on the History Channel and some of these shows, like he's some sort of historian.
From his hospital bed.
Yeah.
There was a hot sauce eating thing at the library, and it wasn't a contest, but it was a hot sauce tasting. And there were about 12 people there in the room at the library, and we went, my wife and I, and there were 10 different hot sauces. They were covered, so you couldn't see what you were having. And they had the hot sauce. You go up, a little cup of hot sauce, and they had little chip dips and stuff. And I'll never forget number 8. I thought I'd have to go to the hospital, and it was that bad. And there was another guy, too, who just couldn't handle it. And they had milk there, so you could drink milk and trying to put the fire out. It wouldn't put the fire out. I said to my wife, I was up against the wall. I said, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. I'm not going to make it. And finally, after a few minutes, it subsided. And then I hit number 10. Same thing happened. So at the end, they show you what you were taking. And
were you like a celebrity taster?
No. Anybody could do it. It's just walked in there. Number 8 and number 10 were cooking hot sauces. Were you supposed to take one little drop and put it in your thing?
And you took a whole chip full?
What? Because it was just like the other hot sauces were like regular, hot sauce, like salsa and hot sauce. But they didn't tell us that. It was a mistake. They should never have used cooking hot sauces where you put one little drip in there to do a whole big pot load. But we were taking chip loads of that stuff. I remember the other guy, too, said, I need an ambulance. And I was the same way. I couldn't believe how hot it was. And all the milk in the world wasn't putting out this fire.
And yet, it didn't faze your wife.
No, there were 10 other people didn't faze. Now, I don't know how much of they took, but no, it didn't bother them at all. They were champs.
You're soft, Don Rosen.
I'm soft. I got another eating stir I'll tell you off the air, though. Don Rosen. Fourth District Alder Dave Mack is here. David Mack, and I see it's snowing on your car right now.
Oh boy!
See out the our magic.
It's like, are you going to come brush my car off when I leave?
Would you like me to?
It would be nice.
Okay, I'll do
that. And then I'll put a nice review on Yelp or whatever for WRGN.
If you wait till 9 o'clock, I'll do it when I get off. I can't do it while I'm here. But
I'm off at 8.
Well, then I'll give you an IOU for one free brushing.
Would you come over to my house and shovel my my sidewalk?
No, I'm 70. These days are shoveling for me are coming to a slow end.
I do have 70. Don, you're 70 years old.
I know. I never talk about it.
You don't have any gray hair either. Wow.
That is gray hair.
Oh, a little bit.
There's a couple of strands of it up there. Years ago, back in the, I guess, late 90s, we had a young lady working here. And she said, "Why do you dye your hair?" And I said, "I don't dye my hair." They said, "Well, your hair is black." I said, "My hair is black. But nobody's got black hair." I said, "Yes, there are people in the world that have black hair."
My dad's 79 years old and has very little gray in his hair. And I've been white, you know, gray hair since I was in my 30s.
You know, my mother was 92 when she passed away. I get a picture of her here. She had a little bit of gray hair on this, and that was it. She just had black hair. It just, my father was like you. He had white hair when he was like, you know, 18 years old.
my 5-year-old, I'm like, I'll say to him, "Tanner, you look just like me." "No, I don't." we're different colors. And so I'll pull up my sleeve and I put it next to his arm. I said, "We're the same skin color." "Yeah, well, I don't have white hair like you do. My hair is black." "I don't like white hair," he says. "I don't like people with white hair." "Oh, really, you little runt?"
You want to get white hair real quickly? Go to become a president.
Yeah.
These guys age so fast in the White House. I mean, it's amazing that
Trump looks the same as he did 8 years ago.
No, he doesn't. His hair's not that yellowish hair. It's getting white now. You can see it on his eyebrows.
Well, he was oranger the other day.
But not his hair.
No.
His hair is white now. You can see it ages. You could see them. You know who aged real fast? Obama, when he was in the White House.
Hmm.
He came in with black hair. He left like Santa Claus. He had white hair on his head. Same thing with George Bush, the most recent one, not H.W.,
W.
He shrunk by about 4 inches when he was in there.
You know, I met both H.W. and W.
You did? Where were you when you met him?
H.W., that was interesting. I was going back through some old newspaper articles. I went on newspaper.com, had a free subscription for a week. And in 1984, I was a convention page at the 1984 Republican National Convention in Dallas, Texas. Met him for the first time at a press conference. They allowed us pages to go to a press conference that he was doing, and then he lingered around and we shook his hand, everything. And then I drove in his motorcade. He was vice president, running for president, and talk about a wild experience driving in a presidential or vice presidential motorcade, and you're zipping down the freeway at 80 miles an hour and you're going through red lights and all this fun stuff. And then they arranged for us to have a meet and greet with him on the floor that they were holding him on. So, you know, those were a couple of the times. And then W, the first time I met him, we were at the Governor's Conference on Emergency Management in Appleton. He was speaking across the street, and after he got done speaking, we were having lunch, he came over, and he came in through the right door behind the stage, and I thought, oh, I'm on the left side, no chance of shaking his hand, if there is, and all of a sudden, I see him look at the Secret Service, they point to the left door. So I make a beeline over to the left side, almost get tackled by the Secret Service. And he comes and he does a short, you know, rope line type thing.
Mm.
He came over to me and I said, Mr. President, I just want you to know we're praying for you. He said, thank you. That's very nice. And he turned around and he started walking away and he turns back and he comes back over to me and he says, I just want to thank you once again. That is just a wonderful gift.
Well, that is nice.
And I'm like, wow, the President of the United States took the time to actually turn around and come back over and say a few more words to me. I was like, wow, that is really cool. So, you know, it's had some unique experiences watching the inauguration, and the fact that it got canceled outside reminded me in 1985, I went to Ronald Reagan's second inauguration, and it got canceled. It was the coldest one on history. The parade got canceled. The outdoor swearing-in got canceled. But I did go to the inaugural ball that night. Had a great time.
By the way, it got canceled. You know why? They were too soft.
Yeah, they were soft.
See this picture now. You can't see it on the radio. I'll describe it to you. See that picture? Have you shown that picture before?
Yeah.
I did show it to you?
Yep.
Okay. That's a picture of John Kennedy with a little girl next to him. Her name is Nell Minow.
Okay.
She's my guest from time to time. She'll be on in the first week in March again. And her father was Newton Minow, chairman of the Federal Communications Commission. So here's what I say. She was standing next to John Kennedy. She knows John Kennedy. I know Nell Minow, so I am 1 degree away from John Kennedy.
John Kennedy's dead.
But still 1 degree away. Doesn't matter if he's alive or dead.
I'm 1 degree away from Bill Clinton. I have a friend in Washington.
But this is John Kennedy. This is John F. Kennedy.
But he's gone. You can't. You're not a 1 degree away from him.
You let me enjoy it, please.
I can put you in a picture next to Donald Trump if you want. Then you'll have zero separation.
No, I'm 1 degree away from him. My dad met him when he was 3 or 4 years old. I'm 1 degree away from Donald Trump. I don't need your help.
Did your dad have Donald Trump's phone number in his Rolodex?
Donald Trump didn't have a phone. Now, my cousin was James Rosen from Fox News, and he interviewed Donald Trump many times. So
that's your 1 degree of separation.
Well, my dad, too.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And you know me, so you're 2 degrees away. Mm. See how that works? I was just going to ask you something.
I don't think that 1 degree works like that. The person has to be able to still contact that person.
No, wait. Yes. No.
So, I have this friend in Washington. She worked for Governor Clinton. He brought her to Washington. We're having dinner, and she's texting Bill Clinton. I was 1 degree separation away from Bill Clinton at that point. I could have said, "Kay, let me borrow your phone," and I could have got on there. "Hey, Bill, it's me, David. How you doing, buddy?"
Our general manager here, once before Barack Obama was even in politics at all, he saw him on the street in Chicago, and he was standing there with him, and he said, Barack Obama said, "You got a cigarette?" So Chris Morrow gave Barack Obama a cigarette.
Does Chris Morrow have Barack Obama's phone number?
No, phone numbers don't matter with degree of separation.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Can Chris Morrow get you a meeting with Barack Obama?
Yes.
No, he can't.
He said, he'll call him up. He said, "Do you still need cigarettes? I got another one." He'll lend him a cigarette.
But you said Chris Morrow doesn't have Barack Obama's phone number.
I don't know if he does.
So he can't call him up.
Maybe he does. I don't know. I didn't see his Rolodex on his phone or anything. Look at you getting upset about
this. I gave Reince Priebus his start in politics, okay?
And where is he now?
He was chief of staff for Donald Trump.
Where is he now?
He still has Donald Trump's phone number in his Rolodex.
Oh, that's been changed many times.
All right. So is Reince's number, I'm sure.
We have to talk about Molly Jones when we get back. We'll talk about her. A couple of other things we want to talk about. Dave Mack, 4th District Alder, is here. Fourth District Alder David Mack is here today. I want to talk about Molly Jones. She recently passed away about a week ago, and she was one of your fellow Alders in the, I think she was 2nd District. I'm trying to remember which. No, she was in the 13th. She was up there.
It was 14th. It's an district. Odd number because we got sworn in at the same time this past year.
Yeah, 13th, I think.
Or last April.
15th.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's up there somewhere. She was in the south end of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there for a number of years. Very nice person. I had her on the air with me. And the podcast, if you want to check it out at our website, you can go to Don Rosen Show, and you'll see on March 20th last year. She was in here. Very sweet person. And I was going to have her in again. And then she said, well, I'm not feeling well today. And I did, you know, people don't feel well all the time. I never knew it was anything bad. But you worked with her.
Well, I met her before I came back onto the council. So I wasn't an alderman at the time. But I would run into her, Mary Land, and Tracy Laren, who was alderman of the 4th District, all the time downtown. Every first Friday, they were walking around. And we'd take a picture of them with little Kai back when he was...
That's your grandchild.
Yeah, when he was just a baby and everything. And we would chat for a few minutes and then move on. So, and then I'd run into her on the 4th of July. And, you know, she was just real active in the community. I was talking to the mayor about her. And she was one of these people that she knew every nook and cranny in her district. And if there was a pothole, she knew where it was. And she was, you know, calling up and demanding that it got filled, that sort of thing. And, you know, she was just real vibrant and full of life. And when I came back, and I hadn't seen her for a while, and I came back last April for the swearing in, and I looked at her, and I was like, wow, she looked really frail.
Really?
And
I didn't know her that well, so.
It wasn't the Molly that I remembered. And then the mayor put me on Public Works, and she was the chair of the Public Works Committee. And I would just sit there, and sometimes she'd wear a big hat. Sometimes she'd wear a scarf around her head, and other times you could tell she had a wig on. And she never talked about her illness. She never told anybody she was sick, but you could see it and sense it, and you just didn't talk about it. And one day she made a comment about her hat. She says, do you like my new hat? And she says sometimes she wears a hat because she doesn't want to. And so she kind of acknowledged at that point that, yeah, I'd been through something. So it's October. We're all up in Madison, Middleton for the League of Municipalities Conference. And I sat with Molly and Mary Land quite a bit during that 3 days that we were up there. Well, there was one evening where we were all in the exhibition hall and there's exhibitors and they're giving out swag and stuff like that. And I said to Molly, I said, could you go get me something? And she says, sure, no problem. So she takes off and she goes over and I'm going around the exhibit hall and I'm talking to people. And I come back an hour later and Mary Land says, have you seen Molly? Well, she went and was going to go get something for me. Is she okay? You know, and then we're like, is she okay? Did something happen? And we both kind of got scared. So now I feel like it's my responsibility to go find her because she was running an errand for me. And I'm walking around the exhibition hall and I'm going up and down the aisles. And, you know, I'm probably looking for her for 20 minutes. I can't find her. And I'm thinking, maybe I need to retrace my steps because what if she moved from here to here? And then the worst, what if she went up to her room and she fell or, you know, who knows? I was really worried. And I come back to the table and there was Molly sitting with Mary Land. And she's like, we found her. And Molly had got sidetracked talking to somebody for an hour.
You know, you
but
always,
she had us all scared.
You always have people, you want her to do an errand for you? You want me to clean your car off? You always have people doing
errands. Well, you're the one that offered.
Well, we'll miss her. And again, I didn't know her well, only from when she was in here.
Yeah.
And she was a very nice, very sweet
person.
Yes, she
was.
And two things we have to get in. You want to talk about Godfather 3?
I was just joking. Oh. All right, so Don Rosen sends me a text. What? Give me some bullet points of things to talk about.
Well, that you wanted to bring up, yeah.
So I thought, you know, I'll make this really funny because he wants to talk about city stuff, but no,
Oh, so you didn't want to talk about Godfather 3. Do you know there's another version?
You know what? The Godfather 3 was the best one out there.
Do you know there's another version of it called Godfather Coda? C-O-D-A.
Yes, I watched it. I bought it.
Yeah, it's The Death of Michael Corleone is the name of it.
It's actually Godfather 3, but it was remastered.
And they changed some scenes in it.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but they changed some scenes.
They added or tweaked some scenes.
Well, the last scene he died. Oh, I just blew it. But it's called The Death of Michael Corleone.
No,
he sat there. He was an old man. He just sat there on the bench. Oh. In Godfather Coda, he drops dead.
Mm.
Yeah, kind of sad.
Just like the old man in Godfather 1, 2.
Yeah, no, Godfather 1. Marlon Brando had an orange in his mouth and just keeled over. Jerry Kramer you ran into.
Yeah, you know.
But let's tell people who he is first. He came into football in 1958.
He worked for WRGN?
No.
Him and... Didn't you and Jerry Kramer used to do Party on the Pavement? I think I had a picture of you two.
I have a picture of you and me doing Party on the Pavement.
Or was that Tom Kramer?
Tom Kramer, yes.
Oh, okay.
Jerry Kramer came into the NFL in 1958 in the Packers. He played with for years. He's 89 years old now and still going. And you ran into him recently, huh?
Yeah. You know, I don't like paying for autographs. The thrill of getting an autograph sometimes is... getting the free ones, so public appearances at like Pick and Save and all that. And I've met Jerry Kramer a couple of times. First time Amy and I met him was in the mid-90s. We were at the State Fair, and he had a booth there, and he was selling his book. And so we got a picture with him. Well, a couple of days before I saw him last Friday here in Racine, a Facebook memory came up. Him and, was it Ray Lewis? Was Ray Lewis a football player? Anyway, were elected to the Football Hall of Fame at the same time. And so I met both of those guys and I congratulated them and put the pictures. So I pulled up the picture when I went and saw Jerry Kramer. I said, "Hey, Jerry, I found this picture of us." And he looked at it. He says, "When was that taken?" So it had to be the mid-90s at the State Fair. He goes, "Oh, 30 years ago." time flies. And I said, "You know, you're one of the last of the old timers, and not too many of those guys left anymore." So every chance I get to meet or see one of them again, I take advantage of it because... You know,
you never know.
They did something that no other team has. 3-time Super Bowl champions.
Technically, it wasn't the Super Bowl, but that's okay. That's semantics. Yeah, it wasn't the first few games weren't the Super Bowl.
They world champions. Yeah. But, they did it 3 years in a row. They had a dynasty going on. You know, with free agency and everything else, you don't have those dynasties.
Hey, the trophy's named after a Packer.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Super Bowl trophy is named after a Green Bay Packer. The smallest city in the NFL to have its own team.
Yep.
They used to play in Milwaukee for half their games at one time. They stopped doing that. Yeah. The old County Stadium when I first moved to Milwaukee.
Lousy place to watch a game from what I understand, and even worse to play.
County Stadium?
Yeah.
Well, now it's a parking lot.
Yep.
Not to worry about it. Okay, in the last few moments here, anything in your district we should know about?
Well, that's what I'm going to write Donald Trump about is I want to see the name of County Stadium restored, and I also want to see the name Sears Tower restored, and I'm thinking that Donald Trump, if he's renaming things, he can help us rename County Stadium and the Sears Tower.
You can do both. Just come up with enough money for naming rights. And you could do it. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, but you can do it by executive order, Don.
Yeah, is that what it is? Okay, so anything in your district we should know about going on? You're my alderman.
Yeah. I'm on the Douglas Avenue bid board, and we are going to...
Business Incremental Development, is that something like that? What is that?
Business Improvement District.
I knew it was
so they're busy promoting things on the Douglas Avenue corridor. There might be... a couple potential development projects coming up. The city development director wants to meet with me and brief me on some things. So I don't know what that's involving yet, but that could be good news. You know, things are kind of quiet right now. It's wintertime, not a lot happening, which is good to some degree.
So when do you start getting the complaints about snow removal? Will it be this afternoon or tomorrow?
Yeah. I got plenty the last time.
Did you really?
Yeah. And, you know, people are understanding. They know that not much I can do about it. I'm like, you know what? Thank you for letting me know. I will pass it along to Public Works and
to
the
mayor's
office. I do.
Okay.
You know, they need, I know that they're getting the complaints too, but they need to know, hey, we as aldermen are getting the complaints. I can't pick up the phone and say, send a snow truck over to Don Rosen's house and
why can't you
clear out the snow in front of his apron on his driveway. But I can say, you know what? Don Rosen on Main Street said his snow removal was lousy and you guys left, you know, 3 inches on the surface.
I'll never say that because I'm one of the people who gets my street plowed first.
Right.
So I'm never having a problem with it. I have a problem with the people parking on the street that shouldn't be there and causing the plow to go around it. That's not the city's fault. That's inconsiderate people.
You know why you get your street plowed first is I call them up and say, hey, get over to Don Rosen's house.
I know.
You know, he's a key constituent of mine, and he's on the radio. He's a radio personality.
I want his vote. David Mack, you're a great guest. What a good talker.
Thank you.
Always have a good time with you.
Yeah, we laugh a little bit and don't take life too seriously.
Yeah, thank you very much. David Mack, our 4th District Alder. Hey, coming up in the next hour, we've got tickets to give away to the Happy Together Tour coming to State Fair. We're talking August already here.
Hey, I went to that one time.
Good show.
Yeah, it is.
My brother played with most of these groups. He was a guitarist for a lot of those groups.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you that.
When you said played, I thought maybe on the playground, like you went to school with Jerry Seinfeld.
No, no, the...